Now, back to the elections. We continue our look at the results of last week's midterms. In several key states, key races are still undecided. Florida law has forced the state to go through a machine recount in a tight Senate race, with Republican Rick Scott taking a small lead over Democrat Bill Nelson. There's a similar situation with the governor's race in Florida, with Republican Ron DeSantis having a small lead ahead of Democrat Andrew Gillum. And in Georgia, the race for the governor's seat between Republican Brian Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams is still up in the air, particularly over concerns after concerns over voter suppression. And to help us understand where things stand, we've got Adam Smith, a political editor for the Tampa Bay Times. Hi, Adam.
Hi there.
So lots going on in Florida. And there's always a lot going on in Florida when it comes to elections, right?
Never a dull moment in God's country.
Never. So tell me where things stand. We're at the end of a machine recount, or we're starting a machine. Give us a sense of what's happening.
It is convoluted. We are finishing a machine recount. So what will happen is at least a couple of these races, probably the governor's race, will be done. The law says that any race that's in one half of one percentage point goes through a machine recount. And then any race that's in within a quarter of one percentage point continues to a manual recount. So that is almost certainly going to be the case with the U.S. Senate race.
And so where do things stand in terms of, we're hearing that different counties are finishing and other counties are sort of, you know, still trying to catch up. Are all of the counties accounted for?
When in doubt, assume that Broward and Palm Beach counties will be a problem. But
Okay. So
far, it appears the only county that will not probably or possibly make the machine recount deadline is Palm Beach County.
So we also this morning got a ruling from a federal judge over mail-in and provisional ballots. What was the specifics on that ruling?
Yeah, the issue is if somebody signs the envelope of their mail-in ballot and then the elections office receives it and it doesn't look like what they have on file, that's often a driver's license signature, then they might toss it aside. So the judge ruled that voters will have until Saturday to sort of resolve the issue. They can bring in extra identification to show that was their legit ballot.
Now, of course, a lot of folks, I mean, we're starting to, I can't even believe back to 2000 when there was this sort of hanging Chad incident in Florida. Are you seeing any similarities there?
Quite a few, actually. We're seeing the similarities in terms of endless lawsuits and sort of the arguments on both sides, the Democrats accusing the Republicans of not wanting to count the votes and disenfranchising voters, and the Republicans basically screaming fraud and an effort to steal the election, et cetera. So that's the same. We'll actually be having some of those famous scenes from the canvassing boards where people are studying those ballots for voter intent, and that will be particularly on ballots that are that either show several marks in one race or show no marks in one race. That's what the manual recount will look like.
And we're also now being joined by Tia Mitchell, a reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Welcome to the show, Tia.
Hello.
There's a lot going on in the state of Georgia as well in terms of, can you give us the latest?
The latest is just yesterday, a federal judge issued a ruling that required all Georgia counties to count absentee ballots, even if there were discrepancies with the voter's date of birth. We don't know how big of an impact that will be because most of the larger counties were already doing this, but that late-breaking ruling makes it mandatory statewide. So there could be some recounting going on in the counties today.
Tia, we heard so many stories about voter suppression in the lead-up to the Georgia election. Can you tell us where we stand with that issue? How are those concerns actually being factored in, if they are at all, to the recount process?
Well, Stacey Abrams and the Georgia Democratic Party have spent a lot of time over the past week soliciting stories from voters, putting together affidavits and documentation that they say shows that there were various types of suppression in various parts of Georgia. And then as a result, the candidates have filed multiple lawsuits, just like in Florida. And so those lawsuits are getting hearings pretty quickly. We've had three pretty big ones so far. again, one has to do with absentee ballots statewide, one had to do with absentee ballots in one county, and then we also had a third ruling that had to do with the provisional ballots statewide. And there are others pending, particularly with, again, the statewide races and the 7th Congressional District.
Now, we know, Tia, that there was one county in particular, Gwinnett County, that has sort of been at the epicenter of voter suppression there. Do we know anything about the movement in Gwinnett County and the focus on what had happened there?
Yes. So it's the ruling yesterday that required counties statewide to count absentee ballots, even though there were date of birth discrepancies, that actually builds on a previous ruling that only dealt with Gwinnett County. And Gwinnett County has been the epicenter. It's a growing county. It's becoming more diverse. They have a lot of immigrants and a lot of languages. And again, they really took off population-wise. So a lot of the issues have centered around Gwinnett County. Gwinnett County also had some very competitive races, and that's why there's been a lot of focus. But again, now those rulings are starting to not just affect Gwinnett County, but affect the whole state, again, as the Democrats in Abrams' campaign say, hey, we're not just seeing issues in Gwinnett County, we're seeing them across the state.
Adam, I'm wondering if you've heard similar stories about voter suppression and potential in Florida.
We have a long history of controversy over voter suppression. I can't say that I've heard a great deal of allegations of intentional voter suppression. There are cases where people, are told to show up at one precinct, and then that precinct sends them somewhere else. So I don't think it's been quite the problem it has in Georgia.
And Tia, there's been, obviously, there's a lot of criticism about Brian Kemp, who was in charge of the elections in Georgia until he resigned last week after claiming victory in the Georgia race. What's the reaction been to that, Tia, so far?
Yeah, I think his resignation, those who were critical of the fact that he refused to step down as Secretary of State, even as he was running for governor, those people are not satisfied by the fact that he stepped down now. In fact, they believe that, now you're running from the problems because the election's over and there are a lot of concerns about how the elections were run. They say now he steps away because he doesn't want to feel the heat of the criticism of how the elections were carried out. So those critics who wished he had stepped down, Stacey Abrams' campaign, of course, says he should own what happened. He's responsible for a lot of the issues that they have raised from the election. They say it's too little too late, and they're still putting the blame on him, even though he has stepped away from that role since the election.
I'm curious, of course, I'm sure you both have seen the repeated calls from some members of Congress, but really from the president, that counting the votes this late in the game is committing some sort of fraud or trying to steal an election. In both of your respective communities, what are the people on the ground saying about that? Are Floridians wanting all the votes to be counted, Adam? Are Georgians wanting all the votes to be counted, Tia?
Yes. There's zero evidence of fraud. There's a lot of evidence on various facets of incompetence. But there's really nothing going on here that's not exactly anticipated under the law and required by the law. So this is not a case of if they suddenly stopped the counting and went with the results from Tuesday night, last Tuesday night, that would be a violation of the law.
And Tia, what about down in Georgia?
Yeah, I think, again, like Adam said, there's no evidence of fraud. However, a lot of people's outlook on the continued debate about which votes should or should not be counted, their outlook depends a lot on their politics. Some Republicans say Democrats are trying to count votes that shouldn't be valid, and they're trying to allow people to vote that shouldn't have been allowed to vote and were rightfully disqualified from voting. Whereas Democrats have a different perspective. They're saying, we want everyone says we agree we want every vote to be counted, but Democrats are saying people were not counted that should have been counted. Republicans are saying people were not counted because for whatever reason they shouldn't have been counted. So there's just that inherent disagreement at the core, and it probably depends on whether your person needs more votes or they don't. You know, if your person that you supported already is in the lead, then you're kind of like, well, you know, maybe we should go
maybe
ahead
we
and wrap
shouldn't.
This up.
Right, exactly. Well, and I'm curious. I mean, let's talk logistics here. Adam, what happens next over the weekend? Where do we go from here?
Well, next they start looking at we have 67 counties, and they have these canvassing boards, and they will look at the thousands and thousands of ballots that showed no vote or registered no vote for the races that are so close, within a quarter of a percentage point.
And Tia, how about Georgia? Is it going to be a busy weekend?
It's probably going to be a busy weekend, and then Georgia has at least two statewide runoffs.
Wow. So lots to pay attention to. Adam Smith is the Tampa Bay Times political editor, and Tia Mitchell is a reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Adam, Tia, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.